Welcome. My name is Arthur Valentine. This is my inaugural, my first podcast. And just a little bit about myself. I'm a dietitian and a corporate wellness coordinator by trade. But also, I am a diehard Green Bay Packer fan and also a huge fan of all things NFL. And with that in mind, I wanted to create a podcast, you know, maybe weekly, bi-weekly, just to kind of discuss some of my thoughts and opinions on the league and specifically the Green Bay Packers. I live in De Pere, Wisconsin, 7.9 miles from historic Lambeau Field, and I'm very proud to say that. You know, I love being so close to the franchise that I'm so passionate about, and I really feel as though we've got an exciting season coming up. I really do. And so with that in mind, today, for the inaugural, the first podcast, I wanted to talk about the upcoming schedule. We know that the opponents have been released. You know, we've known who we're going to play this coming year for quite some time, but the actual schedule itself should be coming out sometime this coming week. I know last year it was released. I believe it was April 20th, somewhere in there. I think it was on a Thursday night, if I remember correctly. And when I first got the update of the schedule release, I just remember combing through that and seeing some of our matchups. You know, the Bengals came to Green Bay, for instance, for the first time in 8 years, and I circled that as a game I definitely wanted to attend, as well as the season opener against the Seahawks. So it's always fun. It's kind of like Christmas morning all over again, right? Getting to see that schedule and really take a look at, you know, the different opponents and where they line up on that list. With that in mind, looking at our opponents, you know, we've obviously got our divisional matchups, right? The Bears, Lions, and Vikings. You know, one apiece at home and away. We've got two NFC West games at home this year, the Cardinals and the 49ers. Two AFC East games at home this year, the Bills and the Dolphins. And then we've got the NFC South, the third place team in the NFC South, the Atlanta Falcons. And they finished last year with a 10-6 record, but still were the third place team in that division. As we know, you know, three NFC playoff teams came out of that division, the Saints, the Panthers, and the Falcons. So definitely a good division last year. Away, we've got the LA Rams, the Los Angeles Rams. I'm still getting used to saying that. I'm so used to St. Louis. You know, I went to graduate school a few hours away from St. Louis while the Rams were still a team there. So definitely getting used to that to their new location. We've also got the Seahawks on the road. We'll be going up to the Link, it sounds like. And then Foxborough. You know, we only travel to Foxborough, what, once every 8 years? And so that's definitely going to be, in my opinion at least, a primetime game and one that many in the NFL kind of circle as one of those must-watch or must-see matchups. And then we've got the New York Jets on the road, and then we've got the Washington Redskins on the road. Once again, that third-place team, this time in the NFC East. And an interesting matchup, you know, obviously with Alex Smith coming into town, and we'll definitely talk about my thoughts regarding Alex Smith and the Washington Redskins and that whole Kirk Cousins deal, because I think that's very interesting now that Kirk Cousins is in our division. We'll see him twice a year, at least for the next 3 years with that fully guaranteed contract. And so some very exciting times ahead for that matchup as well. So without further ado, let's get started with my schedule prediction. Week one, no doubt, I think we're opening up the season against the Bears. We know the 100-year celebration is upon us, the Packers' 100-year anniversary. For those of you who are not aware, and established in 1919, so 2019, it's been a fantastic, phenomenal, historic 100 years, and what a better way to kick off this season than at home, at Lambeau Field, on a beautiful early September evening against the Chicago Bears. I think that's going to be a Sunday night football matchup. That's kind of the rumor, or maybe one of the worst-kept secrets, that the Packers did, in fact, request a home game in that week one slot, and they're likely to be granted just because, you know, actually probably for a number of different reasons, but, you know, keeping in mind the historic nature of that rivalry and in honoring this franchise as we progress forward with 100 years of history. In regards to the matchup, I actually really think the Bears are going to have a solid season this year. They always play the NFC North tough, you know, a lot of times in the past 5 or 10 years, with a couple of exceptions. I know they made the NFC Championship game after the 2010 season, and you know, so there's been some success there. But, you know, they've had some pretty down years, but they don't roll over for teams. I mean, they still play tough, and I think they've got a lot of things going well for them. They've had a good offseason in my mind. After their draft, let's see if they go after a Quentin Nelson, you know, really stabilize that offensive line and get Mitch Trubisky some of that protection. I think they're going to be a better team than many predict, so that will be a great matchup here at Lambeau Field. I guess that will be a Sunday night football game. I think that'll be the national game that opening weekend here at home. Week two, I think we're going to Los Angeles in week two. I could see that. I could definitely see that matchup being early on in the season. And to be completely honest, I would much prefer to play Los Angeles later in the season than earlier. And the main reason for that is we know they've had the off-season of off-seasons. I mean, I don't think any team has matched what they've went out and they've done, what they've added to their roster. But with that in mind, they've definitely added some, we'll just say, personalities to that locker room, right? They've added some pieces, and we just hope that those pieces can fit the puzzle, so to speak. And I know you'll get both sides of it. Some think that'll gel just fine, and some are a little more skeptical, and I think both sides have a reasonable argument. But early on in the season, you'd hope that, you know, they're still playing as a cohesive unit and they've still got, you know, everyone kind of in the right mindset. So they'll probably be prepared, ready to play. Whereas later in the season, you know, maybe we'd have some, you know, internal drama, so to speak, which, you know, sometimes when you have these dream teams, so to speak, that will happen. And, you know, they're a young team as well. I think people really forget, you know, especially their head coach, Sean McVay, who did a wonderful job last year. I mean, they really, I watched a few of their games, especially when they were in that 325 window, you know, the afternoon slot here in the Midwest. And, you know, that offense, Jared Goff and Todd Gurley. I mean, anyone who plays fantasy football knows that Todd Gurley is the absolute truth, you know, receptions out of the backfield and just overall, just a fantastic young player. And kind of along those same lines, what's really interesting to me about Los Angeles is people wonder, where's this cap room coming from? I mean, how can they afford to add all these pieces, even on these short-term deals, like Sue, you know, $14 million or whatever that number is? And there's probably a number of different factors, and I'm not an accountant, nor do I pretend to be. But what I do know is when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal, which are very team-friendly in relationship to what the going rate for a starting quarterback is on the open market, see also, or Exhibit A, Kirk Cousins, that opens up a lot of cap room for other areas on your team. So, you know, definitely able for, you know, the next couple of years to go out and make those moves and be very ambitious and active in the off season. But we'll see kind of how teams are able to do that once their quarterbacks are no longer on that team-friendly rookie deal. So I think L.A. week two, and it'll be in Los Angeles, so that would be, you know, a 325 game here in the Midwest. Week three, now some people may disagree with this, and I think it could go one of two ways, but I think week three is going to be at New England. And the reason for that is we know that the NFL, I mean, a dream matchup, we keep talking about it in the Super Bowl, but Brady versus Rodgers. Brady versus Rodgers. Rodgers versus Brady, right? We've all wanted to see it, you know, in the Super Bowl, you know, two of the greatest. But my thing is why I think this is going to be an earlier game is the injury factor, right? I mean, if they have it later on in the season, perhaps one of them, you know, will be injured. And I'm not, you know, trying to forecast that's going to happen, but the odds are, you know, I guess it would be a less of a chance that there would be an injury or some reason to miss a game earlier in the season. And the only reason I go this route is I think back to, you know, 2010, when the Packers and Patriots did last play at Foxborough in the regular season. And we know that that was Matt Flynn, the Matt Flynn show, and actually came in and played a great game. I remember that. That was a Sunday night football game, and the Packers really played that game well. That was a very fun game to watch, a great team effort. And honestly, that was the year we won the Super Bowl, obviously. I think that was just an overall great game. I mean, a great team effort. With that in mind, though, that will be a tough game for us this year. I think that the Patriots, you know, everyone always wants to talk about, you know, when are they going to fall off that cliff? You know, when are they no longer going to be the team to beat in the AFC? They've lost some pieces, you know, they've had some players go, but at the same time, you know, they do more with less than arguably any team that we've seen in recent memory. So I think that's going to be a tough one. And in this podcast, I'm not predicting who I think will win or lose. I'll do that later on, you know, kind of once we have a little more indication after the draft. You know, I want to see what pieces we add and also what pieces our opponents add. I think, you know, any predictions we'd make in that regard today would be, you know, subject to change to an extreme amount, and also some free agency things. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, players like Dez Bryant was just released yesterday by the Dallas Cowboys on the open market now. So there are definitely some things that can change, and I think, you know, some of those pieces could greatly impact, you know, the win-loss probability. But New England in Week 3, and I think that's going to be a primetime game as well. And that's kind of where it would become, you know, sticky in Week 3. You know, would the Packers really play Sunday Night Football Week 1 and then again be in primetime in Week 3? You know, I could see that happening. So that would be, you know, I think the NFL is going to want to make that a primetime game, just as they did 8 years ago in Foxborough. But at the same time, I was at the Packers-Patriots game here at Lambeau in 2014, and that was a 3:25 game. That was the afternoon game. So maybe it'll be an afternoon game as well. So Week 3, New England, afternoon, maybe Monday Night Football. Week four. This is an interesting one. I've got the Dolphins coming to Green Bay in Week 4. And I don't really know what to say about the Dolphins at this point. I think a lot of this depends kind of on where they're going at quarterback. You know, we know that it's a quarterback-driven league, and they have Ryan Tannehill, obviously coming off of an injury, which sidelined him for last season, but there's been a lot of talk that they're very interested in getting a new signal caller in this year's draft. And they've looked at a couple of different players from what I've read, and we'll see if that actually turns out to be true. But that would be interesting, you know, and maybe they would allow, you know, Baker Mayfield or whomever they would draft to kind of, you know, sit and learn for a year or two. But at the same time, we're not really seeing that in the NFL. You know, I think the Patrick Mahomes situation last year was just a perfect storm of Alex Smith having a career year. I think had he had a few game slump, or, you know, I mean, I guess they did kind of peter off towards the end of the season, if you want to look at it that way. But, you know, they weren't calling for Mahomes because in large part Smith was having a very good season. And there's a lot of talent on that roster. I mean, they've got a great lot of offensive pieces there in Kansas City. But with that in mind, you know, they might draft the quarterback with the intent to allow him to sit until season two or whenever. But, you know, we know those boo birds come out quickly, and the fans are calling for a change, you know, whenever they can find you know, a reason to do so. So we'll definitely see. But I think the Dolphins come to Lambeau in Week 4. That should be, you know, a great game early October. I think that'll be a standard noon game, you know, noon game here at Lambeau, but definitely a good matchup. Week 5, I've got us down for the Vikings. I think that that's going to be the Vikings at home. I think that's going to be an early season game. I think the first matchup against the Vikings last season, if I remember correctly, was right around that same time, somewhere in mid-October. We know that was the fateful game where Aaron Rodgers, and I'm about to cry to even think about this, but we know that was the injury game when he went down with that collarbone injury. But I think week five, we are going to see the Minnesota Vikings come to Lambeau. So two consecutive home games, the Dolphins and then the Vikings. And I could see the Vikings game being a 3:25 game, but if not, probably just a standard noon game, you know, just, and I think that's how the first Vikings matchup was last year as well. It was just a noon game at US Bank Bank Stadium in the Twin Cities. Now, the Vikings. Okay, so let me get into that a little bit. And full disclosure here, my wife, a lot of my family members, my parents, more specifically, are Vikings fans, right? I did grow up in the Twin Cities area. I've got a lot of purple and gold influence in my life, and I have respect for the franchise, I do. I've been to U.S. Bank Stadium. I was actually at the first game there ever, the Packer-Viking game on September 18th, 2016, and I only have that date memorized because I have a poster, so to speak, in my room, of that initial game that I was at, and fantastic stadium. I think they did a fantastic job with the Super Bowl this year. Heard nothing but the best. From all those involved, all of those in the NFL. I just am so proud of that city and that state for hosting such a wonderful Super Bowl. With all of that in mind, and with the praise that I just gave, our biggest nemesis or rival at this point, I do not for the life of me understand why Kirk Cousins got that amount of money, and especially fully guaranteed. I think he's a good player. There's no doubt. The man knows how to play quarterback. He, by all accounts, is a nice guy and a good locker room presence. But I just don't. My argument is this: if he's worth $84 million, fully guaranteed over the 3 years, what is Aaron Rodgers worth? We know that Kirk Cousins can put up the stats, right? I mean, I don't have them written down here, but from a yardage perspective, he's good for 350 yards a game. May toss a pick or two, probably going to toss two, maybe three touchdowns. He's mobile enough. He can move out of the pocket. He can roll out. He's got the skills. He's got the arm talent. But it's never translated into wins. And I know you say, the supporting cast, and I get that. And, maybe he wasn't playing with a team stacked with all pros or pro bowlers at all times. And they definitely have had some injuries there in Washington. But I just don't know how that contract is justified, especially when they had the success that they had. I mean, literally coming one game away from the Super Bowl at home in the Twin Cities with Case Keenum as their quarterback for the majority of the year. They probably could have gotten Keenum on somewhat of a hometown discount, right? Maybe an incentive type deal, where he'd have a nice base salary, maybe $9, $10 million. But then, some escalators or incentives in there, whatever the case is. I just don't know if Cousins really worth double what you'd pay Keenum. I don't know, and I'm not a talent evaluator. I don't get paid to do that for a living. But at the same time, I think you've kind of got to go back and just kind of look and ask yourself: that's just a lot of money. That's a lot of money to tie into, a good quarterback. But in 10 years, are you going to be able to tell the story of the NFL? Without mentioning Kirk Cousins' name? And I would argue that you probably could get away with that relatively easily. Whereas the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers, the Drew Brees of the world, that's top shelf right there. Those are the quarterbacks that, we're going to be looking back at in 10, 20, 30 years as the ones who were, dominant in this era. So I'm just a little confused by that. I love it all the same, though, because tying up that money into Kirk Cousins means they don't have money to spend in other areas. Maybe not this year, because I know there's a lot of, working you can do with the accounting, and you can make, backload deals and signing bonuses and all that. But they have some very good players on that roster who are on their initial rookie deals. And when push comes to shove, they're not going to be able to re-sign all those guys, at least not to what the expectation is for what their contracts will be worth or their asking price will be when those contracts are up. So that'll be an interesting development if they're able to keep a lot of those pieces together as they progress forward with this very large quarterback deal that they've got. So very interesting Vikings team this year. I mean, I guess everyone kind of had them as the team to take Kirk Cousins, even going into the offseason. But I never really understood that, especially with Case Keenum, doing what he did. And I understand that Pat Shurmur was said to be a large part of that, had a great influence on him, and was a guiding hand, in his development and progression. But I don't know. I mean, I guess It benefits the Packers because of the salary cap thing, and I don't really know that they got that much of a better talent at the position. And but that'll be very interesting. I'll be very curious to see what happens if, let's say, by the time the Packers and Vikings play, you know, in that week five, what if they're 2-2? I mean, what if they're 2-3? I mean, after that, what if they lose to the Packers? I mean, I'd be very curious to see what the analysis and what the columnists are saying about this deal. I'm very curious to see, because I think that with that kind of money, and that sets up expectations. I mean, very high expectations at that. And being one game away from the Super Bowl last year, granted, I mean, losing in devastating, I mean, how they got run over by the Eagles, who are a good team. I mean, definitely Super Bowl champs, no discredit there. Very good team, but they made the Vikings, I mean, they look like a preseason game. I mean, it was, the Vikings didn't even show up, you know? So I don't really understand how that happened, but at the same time, very, very interesting moving forward. With that, let's take a little bit of a break, and we'll get back in just a minute here. All right, we are back. Okay, so Vikings. We just talked about them. We talked about kind of some of my thoughts about their offseason moves thus far, especially with the Kirk Cousins deal. Moving forward, I think the next week, week six, I think we're going to play the Lions on Thursday Night Football, actually, is my prediction. You know, we typically get that early to mid-season Thursday Night Football game, at least in the past couple years, but it's been against the Bears. And I think because we're getting the Bears in a primetime matchup in week one, the Lions would be the next logical choice for that Thursday night game, similar to 2015 when we played the Lions in Detroit, and that was the Rodgers to Rodgers connection, right? The Richard Rodgers Hail Mary catch to win the game. We'll never forget that game. It was a 10, maybe 10:20, 10:30 at night. My wife was sleeping, and I just remember up to that point, the offense did not look good. I mean, they started that season kind of, you know, a little bit of a slump, but even towards mid-season, it just was not catching fire. We know that was the season that we lost Jordy Nelson in the preseason, and James Jones got re-signed. We got the hoodie swag. A lot of fun things going on with that, but the offense just was not what we're accustomed to seeing. But to win a game like that in such thrilling fashion, I don't think any Packer fan will forget at least the way that game ended. So, Lions in week six on Thursday Night Football. That's the matchup I've got predicted there. The Lions, kind of similar to the Bears. I think that they always play the NFC North. They always play the NFC North tough. We know that last year, to close the season, we played in Detroit, and that did not go very well. Granted, that was the last week of the season. We were obviously out of playoff contention, as were the Lions, and they just looked like they had more to win. It was not a good way to end the season and to send this team off into the offseason. I did watch the game start to finish, or at least I had it on start to finish. But it was just, it was a disappointing effort all around, even though the playoffs were out of reach for both teams, actually. The Lions were eliminated at that point as well. And so, I don't know. Just a very difficult way to end the season. So we'll see how that game would go. Or actually, you know, to be honest, this is just a prediction. So when we'll play the Lions. But like I said, week six, Thursday Night Football, no color rush jerseys. That's a new change this year, which is interesting. But no color rush jerseys, and we'll see how that goes. I think that transitions into a bye week. So we kind of have a little bit of a early season or close to mid-season bye week, at least. And so that would be our bye week in week seven, I believe. That's my prediction there. Coming off the bye week, traveling to New York, or to, I believe it's the stadium is actually in New Jersey, the Meadowlands, but traveling to New York, playing the Jets. By this time, whichever quarterback they end up drafting this year, we know that's not a very well kept secret that they are looking at a few different options there. I keep hearing and seeing Josh Rosen going to the Jets, so we would see. We've seen a lot of comparisons to this point of Josh Rosen and Aaron Rodgers, and fair or unfair, I think a lot of people are making that comparison because of the personalities, you know, and kind of they're both California kids, both had a similar skill set coming out of college. I don't really have a lot to say about Josh Rosen. I haven't done enough pre-draft research on him. You know, hopefully he'll pan out to be a decent quarterback. But at the same time, the Jets, they haven't been a very good team the past couple of years. You know, they had, I think, a better season than many expected last year, but we'll see if that carries over on into this year, especially depending on the quarterback that they end up drafting. The next team on the list, this is an exciting matchup. So this is definitely very exciting. I think that San Francisco in week 8 comes to Lambeau Field, and I believe this is going to be a 325 or even maybe a primetime game. The 49ers, let's be honest, the way they finished last season has a lot of people singing their praises. A lot of people thinking that this could be a team, maybe not this year, right? But in the next 2 years, 2-3 years, could be the cream of the crop in the NFC, due in large part to, you know, to their ambitious general manager. We know John Lynch is there. Also Jimmy G, or Jimmy GQ, as many are known to call him. And they had a ton of cap room this offseason. I mean, they've got money just to throw around. And so they've got definitely, you know, at least from a prediction perspective, a reasonable chance of really improving on their record. Now, we'll see if that actually comes to be and if they're able to capitalize on some of those factors I just brought up. And I didn't even bring up, you know, their coaching staff. I mean, we know Kyle Shanahan, you know, definitely very well regarded in league circles. You know, a lot of people attributed Matt Ryan's success, in part at least, to his mentorship and his offensive expertise a few years back. So we'll see how the 49ers pan out. But that should be a very interesting matchup at Lambeau Field. Definitely looking forward to that. We jump in to week 9. We're going to look at the Atlanta Falcons. I think they come to Lambeau the following week. So back-to-back weeks at Lambeau. 49ers followed by the Atlanta Falcons. Don't really have a whole lot to say about the Falcons because you never know what you're going to get with this matchup. Last year, for instance, I think that was week 2 or week 3. That was the Sunday Night Football game. The Packers just looked... It just was not a good game, and that was in Atlanta, whereas this year they're coming to Lambeau Field, so we know there's a little bit of a difference there, you know. And this will be midseason. I mean, this will be, you know, somewhere in that late October or actually early November. So we'll see what the weather is like up here in Green Bay. You know, you can get it one of two ways. I remember I went to the Packers-Colts game back in 2016. I took my parents, my stepdad, and my mom along. My wife came along to that game as well. And it was like a 63 degree day, and that was in the first week of November. You know, and other years, by the first week of November, you've got the snowstorm. So you never know what you're going to get. You know, you just have to kind of play that one by ear. But definitely them being a dome team from the south, you know, it probably would be advantageous for the Packers to have a little bit of that Green Bay weather that we're so well known for. And speaking of that, here today in the Green Bay area, I'm looking out my window right now, and we've got a decent amount of snow on the ground. I think they said 6 inches, 5.5, 6 inches, with more to come as we progress forward through this weekend. So we're looking at a very snowy weekend here in the Green Bay area, and the Packers, I think, are reporting for off-season training, our off-season workouts this weekend, and I believe they had to be here by Monday. So, but we'll see if this weather impacts the travel plans. I'd have to look into the flights coming into the Green Bay airport. But moving forward, after the Falcons, I think we travel to Seattle. Going to the Pacific Northwest is never an easy task. I can hardly even talk about this matchup as visions or hauntings, I'll say, of the NFC Championship game in January of 2015 come to mind. Definitely one of the most difficult games I've ever had to watch, if for no other reason that the Packers dominated that game for 54 minutes, 55 minutes, whatever. I mean, that game should have been over and done with. I don't blame the onside kick, the Brandon Bostic. We never should have been in that position anyways. The team should have put the game away long before that. There were many opportunities to do so. Just very tough all around. That would have given us As we know, that Packers-Patriots Super Bowl, almost that mythical matchup that everyone talks about but that we've never gotten, that season, that could have been the year. We know that the Seahawks ended up winning that game in overtime, and I actually didn't even see the play. I remember having such a bad gut feeling about it that I turned away. I'll admit, I will be full disclosure there. I had a bad feeling about the overtime, and I had to do what I had to do. So I'm not necessarily proud of that. I need to stick with my team through thick and thin. But I just had a bad feeling, and it turned out to be correct. So with that in mind, traveling to Seattle. The following week, Arizona comes to town. You know, when's the last time we've seen Arizona at Lambeau Field? It's been a while. I can't remember the last time they've come to Lambeau. I remember the last time we played Arizona, I believe, would have been the playoffs. That would have been the Jeff Janis double Hail Mary play, where we had the 98-yard drive on two plays, both on consecutive completions to the newest member of the Cleveland Browns, Jeff Janis. Very spectacular plays, no doubt. But I guess this is just a coincidence, because we also lost that game in very sad fashion in overtime. I believe it was Larry Fitzgerald on some type of a pitch or some type of a forward pitch pass right into the end zone. And so, tough game, very tough game. And that being the year after the Seahawks debacle in the NFC Championship game, what a way to lose, you know, two consecutive playoff games, no doubt. So Arizona coming to Lambeau Field in week 12. At Minnesota, I think this is going to be a primetime game. At Minnesota, at U.S. Bank Stadium, we'll play under the lights there. Should be a great matchup. We've already kind of talked about the Vikings and some of my thoughts on them, and we'll see. Like I said, I think, you know, they've obviously got a lot of talent on defense. Mike Zimmer is a wonderful head coach. He keeps that organization very, very stable and very, you know, cooler heads prevail. They seem to have, you know, a good environment around that locker room, and I can definitely respect that. I think that they're one of those franchises that, you know, if anyone can come back from getting absolutely destroyed in the NFC Championship game last year, you know, it's them. I don't know if that's going to linger with them, you know, as much as maybe it would with other teams. So after Minnesota, I think we go I think we stay home, actually. Well, we go back home to, we have Detroit coming to town that following week. So that's going to be week 13, having Detroit come to Lambeau. And then the following week, the Bills. We do play the Bills at Lambeau Field this year. And looking at the Bills, the only thing I can think about is a December game with the Buffalo Bills. Maybe being, maybe we'll get something similar to the Bills and Colts last year. That game, the snow globe game, right? Where LeSean McCoy was pretty much the entire offense for the Bills that game, if I remember right. I think I had him on my DraftKings, my fantasy league. But definitely that'd be a fun game to watch. That'd be a great matchup. You know, I think the Bills, you know, it's just a team you don't see a lot. I'm really into either attending or just being very excited about, you know, the matchups that we only see every 4 years. And that's going to be those AFC teams, right, that we don't see that often. We know that the schedule rotates through the AFC, through the conference. So just, you know, something we don't see very often. The last time we played the Bills was in 2014. That was in Buffalo. That was a low-scoring game, if I remember correctly. I think the wind was whipping a little bit, and I just remember that not being a very pretty game either. And we did end up losing that game as well. So the following week, we're looking at Washington. I think we go to Washington in the second-to-last week of the season. And then the final week of the season, I think we're looking at Chicago. I think we're looking at Chicago at Chicago. I think that's how we're going to close the season. We know the NFL really likes to do the final week of the season, have all of the divisional matchups, hoping that some of the matchups will be the games that, you know, in a close division would ultimately decide the division champion. And we've had quite a few of those. We've had quite a few of those with the Packers in at least the past 5 years or so. I think about the one in 2015 against the Vikings at Lambeau, which we did not end up winning. And then the following year against against the Lions, which we did end up winning that game and thus winning the division. So definitely would be a good matchup there if it would come down, if the division would come down to that weekend. And maybe it will, maybe it won't. We'll see how the rest of the division pans out. And that this isn't even to say that. I mean, this could be a transitionary year for the Packers. You know, with a new defensive coordinator, I do have a lot of faith, a lot of hope in what Mike Pettine is going to bring to this team. But we'll see. You know, I'm optimistic, but at the same time, I'm realistic. And I understand, you know, the first few weeks we could have just a couple of, you know, a couple things that need. We got some new additions. We got Mo Wilkerson. We got Jimmy Graham. Got to find a way to really incorporate them into the game plans and get everything running smoothly. But with that in mind, I guess I'll just go based on the schedule we just talked about. I didn't really pick a winner or a loser for particular games. But I'm thinking 10-6, 10-6 or 11-5 this season, and that's my realistic, not quite cautiously optimistic take. I think a more optimistic take would be somewhere in that more 11-5, 12-4. So I'll go 10-6. You know, I don't think we lose more than six games this year. Just kind of looking at the schedule, and that puts you right into playoff contention. But it's not a guarantee, especially in the NFC. Right? We know, and I don't think this is a hot take. I don't think this is something that many people could disagree with, but. But the AFC and the NFC are almost different leagues. I hate to say it, but 10-6 in the AFC could get you a 3 seed. I mean, let's be honest, after the Patriots and probably the Steelers, you have the Jaguars, you've got the Titans who made the playoffs last year, the Bills, I suppose. But really, what do you know, I just don't think that. There's just a lot of uncertainty at quarterback in the AFC. There's a lot of teams that are looking for their future at that position, and it's a quarterback-dominated league. So, but in the NFC, with the exception of what? Maybe the Cardinals? It seems like every team is kind of set, or they've at least got who they think is their quarterback. The Bears, Mitch Trubisky, for instance, right? The 49ers, they have Jimmy G. So everyone kind of seems to, you know, have a direction at that position. And I just think that could be one of the bigger differences why the AFC and the NFC really seem to be so different. But with that in mind, thank you so much for listening here today and for your time. I look forward to doing some more of these podcasts. And thank you again. And if you are in the Green Bay or the Wisconsin area or anywhere in the Midwest and you're affected by this winter storm, be safe out there and go Pack, go.